Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight and we bless you for this opportunity to grow, to be taught, to be imparted. Lord, we thank you for this great ministry, this great vision. Thank you for Wine Press. The Bible declares that they go from strength to strength, as many as appear before the Lord in Zion. I pray that we will rise and we will go from glory to glory. Let your word come with power. Let it come with clarity. Let it edify us. Let it build us tonight. And I pray in the name of Jesus that within the time that we have to share, let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. And as always, let Jesus be revealed and Jesus glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. My joy to be here. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Let me very quickly bless and honor the man of God and his dear wife, Pastor Bolaji. Please honor him for me and his dear wife. And I want to sincerely celebrate all of the pastors, the leaders, and all who are part of this vision. Let's honor them. Great work. May the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Please be seated. While I prayed and inquired of the Lord on what to share tonight, I had a vision. This is how I want to start tonight. I had a vision, and in that vision, it was a room, and I just saw people moving and they were lamenting, and it looked as though something was missing. This is what I saw in my vision. And they were looking around, and then all of a sudden light came and the people began to rejoice, and I had the word restoration. This, I want you to believe every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I'll be teaching very, very briefly on the principle of restoration, and then we'll pray. I trust that as we pay attention, we'll not only learn, but that the power and the grace to make that word become a reality in our lives will be released even whilst the word comes. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible lets us know that it is possible for men to lose people, relationships, as we see all through Scripture. In the Bible, people lost loved ones, people lost relationships. In the Bible, it is also clear that people can lose things. We see that things were lost in the Bible. For instance, the story of the axe head that fell. He said, "Alas, master, it was borrowed." So we see that people can lose things. But we also see from Scripture that people can lose time. That it is not only men that can be lost. It is not only things that can be lost. But the greatest loss as recorded by Scripture and from Scripture is time. Is that true? So, God is able to restore people. We see that in stories that depict resurrection. Resurrection is a type of restoration. And then we see God restoring things, not just over the lives of individuals, but even over nations. The prophet said, "By this time tomorrow." And there was a complete restoration of the economic dignity of a region. But then the Bible also says that in God's dealing with men, he is so mighty that he sustains the power to restore even time. Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. Joel 2 and verse 25. Joel 2 and verse 25. I will restore to you the years, not just the things. You can have the restoration of relationships. You can have the resurrection of things. But let me tell you, real dominion is dominion over time. Because the unit of destiny is measured in time. When you meet a dying man, he will not ask you for more things. When you meet a dying man, his greatest request is time. Because if you can give him time, every other thing can be found in time. Are we together now? When you lose relationships under a certain condition, you can easily have another relationship. When you lose things, people have lost monies, people have lost properties, and with time, they got it back. But when you lose time, there is no factor that guarantees the restoration of time again. Are we together now? Yes, because it is not given unto men to live in the past physically. But God is saying, in my dealings with men, I can restore people, I can restore things, and I can restore time. This is very important. I examined the subject of losses. It is a word that people do not want to hear. The moment I mention a loss or losses, either to a businessman or someone who just lost a loved one, it's not a word that anyone wants to be associated with at all. Is that true? When you hear the word profit, you hear the word gain. Now, these are words that we like. Nobody wants to hear the word loss or losses. And by the Spirit of God, very quickly, I just want to exhort us. I'm not really doing an extensive exegesis of God's word, just a charge, really, so that we can pray. A few reasons why individuals lose in life. Please pay attention. Tonight's message can be a lifeline for someone based on that which God showed me. There are a number of reasons. And in as much as every new year, every new season, we aspire for the best of God in our lives and our destinies, if we do not know what makes for a life of defeat and retrogression, we will continue repeating the same mistakes. And you have every new year look like the former year, in spite of the prophetic words. And so God is giving us a chance by his word to be able to ascend through knowledge to a higher realm where our results become predictable. You can know that you are done with losses and retrogression. Are we together now? Our confidence in this kingdom is based on the integrity of God's word. There are two qualities of God that the believer builds his confidence upon. Number one is his integrity. Number two is his ability. These are the pillars of the believer's confidence. So when people ask you, based on what do you think God will not fail you? It is based on his integrity. God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a man. You may have heard it in my teachings that God only became a man, but he is not a man. Are we together? Yes. The Bible tells us that men lie. They don't lie because they are bad. They lie because they are men. So it says God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man. That is the basis of your confidence. It means God only says what he can do. So if you hear God say anything, he has vetted his ability to find out that what he has said, it is within his power to make it come to pass. Are we together now? This is very powerful. So his integrity and his ability. Let's examine a few reasons why people experience losses of all kinds in their lives. Are you learning already? Number one, lack of discernment. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's study a few scriptures as fast as we can. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Lack of discernment. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Say discernment. Discernment is very important. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3. These are scriptures that show us the danger of not having discernment. Isaiah 1, 3. It says, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. That means these people have not built themselves to be able to discern. We lose in life because we do not know how to discern. The faculty of spiritual perception, the ability to know what God is doing. In these days, if you lack discernment, you will lose a lot of things. It can cost you even your bishopric. He said his bishopric, let another take. Are we blessed? Ezekiel chapter 12. Let's look at one or two more scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 12, we'll start from verse 1 and 2. Ezekiel chapter 12 from verse 1 and 2. The word of the Lord also came to me saying, please let's read verse 2 together. Ready? 1, 2, read. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious people. It says, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are. That is his definition of lack of discernment, that you have eyes and yet you do not see. You have ears and you do not hear. People lose because they do not have the ability to see and to hear. Very, very powerful. Acts 28 and verse 27. Let that be the last verse for this, and then we'll jump to the next. Acts 28 and verse 27. He said that, for the heart of these people is wax gross, for their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. There is a relationship between discernment and restoration. There is a relationship between lack of discernment and losses. Many people, many believers have not trained their faculty of spiritual perception to discern. Discern people, discern opportunities, discern seasons. It says, and of the sons of Issachar, men who had the understanding of the times, and that they knew what Israel ought to do, and because of that their brethren were at their command. Number two, why do people lose in this kingdom? Carelessness. Number two, carelessness. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3, where we read Hebrews 2 and verse 3. Just pay attention to these scriptures and let them speak to your spirit. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape, it says, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them which heard him? How shall we escape when there is neglect, carelessness? Many believers have demonstrated carelessness across every area of their lives. Carelessness with opportunities, carelessness with moments, carelessness with prophetic words. Are we together now? Yes. Judges chapter 11. Let's read from verse 30. We're discussing the reasons why people lose in this kingdom as an attempt to understand the value of restoration. And we said number one is lack of discernment, the absence of it. Number two, carelessness. Are we there? Judges 11 from verse 30. Remember the story of Jephthah? Pay attention. It says, Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. You will see the consequence of carelessness right now. Carelessness with words, carelessness with commitments. It says, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon unto my hands. We're reading to 35. Then it shall be that whatsoever comfort out of the door to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it for a burnt offering. Say carelessness. This is a man who is speaking carelessly. This is clearly emotions. That Lord, if you give me victory, anything that comes out of my house, I will give you as a burnt offering. Follow closely. So Jephthah passed over to the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. Are we still here? And he smote them even until all of those places, and thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. 34. It says, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, who came out? His daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Say carelessness. We lose things in life because we do not allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. People make careless statements, careless commitments, and many of us, the reason why we've not been able to experience advancement and even restoration is because we make careless commitments. Carelessness. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. 35. And it came to pass, when he saw her, he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. There are people who made commitments that were beyond their financial level. Emotionally, they just met a family of 10 people and said, I will take care of all of you to university. And the wife said, but how, what is the financial state of the family? Said, and they clapped for you when you spoke it, and they captured it on TV. Carelessness, hasty in speech, carelessness, especially with words. There are people who have said things that they wish they did not say, because careless utterances have cost people years, damage control for years. Is someone learning now? The reason why we lose in this kingdom, carelessness. Carelessness. In Matthew chapter 14, when you read from verse 6 to 11, I don't know if we can look at it, is a parable, the parable of the talent. Remember, he gave unto one 5, he gave unto one 2, he gave unto Matthew 14. Let's look at it from verse 6. Sorry, that was the story of Herodias. Keep it, let's just read it since you've put it up. The Bible says, when Herodias' birthday was kept, when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased who? Are you ready to see carelessness again? Please read verse 7. One to read. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her. You see how careless people are? How in the world do you stand as a king who is responsible for the destinies of many, and simply because a lady danced before you and you were happy and you made a careless statement, that anything, that means if she said get up from that throne. Are we together now? Verse 8. And she, being therefore instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. You see it now, that every time people do careless things and say careless things, eventually, why do we lose in this kingdom? Because we are not thoughtful, we are not guided by the word, we are not guided by the spirit. You see, there are three faculties. Let me teach you this very quickly. I wish I had time. There are three faculties by which we interact with this realm and we make decisions. I will start from the third. The third is emotions. It is the weakest of all because it vacillates. Number two is reason based on logic and principles. It is stronger than emotions. The highest number one is discernment. You see, so we have emotions, we have reason that is based on principles. Emotions are based on feelings. They vacillate and they change. Reasoning is based on principles, and so there is a measure of stability. But the highest is discernment, because it is based on the voice of God. It is based on the word of God. Are we together now? That means I can look at your life and know which of these faculties you have exalted. If I see the vacillations around your decisions, I know that you have exalted emotions above reason and above discernment. If I see that you are excessively philosophical with no honor to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, I know you have exalted reason above emotion and above discernment. In this order, it is discernment, then reason, then emotions. When the devil wants to destroy people, he manipulates them, because he's the master of the sense realm, to exalt their emotions. The moment you get to the realm of emotions, you are in Satan's domain. He will play miserably with you. Can I tell you this? Both frustration and excitement can lead to emotions. So whether you are responding from a state of excitement or a state of frustration, if you are not careful and you're not guided, you can be careless. This man was excited, and he said, young girl, whatever it is that you want, I will give it to you. And she met her mom and said, mom, look at this offer. And the mom said, finally, I have a chance to kill a prophet. And they killed him in a miserable way, as though the Spirit of God was never upon him. That's the implication of carelessness. Are we learning? Number three, very quickly, why do we lose in this kingdom? Ignorance of the laws of the kingdom. Ignorance of the laws of the kingdom. In Psalm 82 and verse 5, popular scripture, it says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. They know not. This is a kingdom that thrives by knowledge. Proverbs 19 and verse 2. The Bible says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Proverbs 19 and verse 2. Are we there? It says also that the soul. That the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. I was quoting another scripture. It says, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. So it is not good to be without knowledge. Lay your hands on your head in 1 minute and declare that this year 2022, this is the year you will contend for superior spiritual knowledge. Go ahead and pray in 1 minute. Make a commitment by God. Make a commitment by his grace. Ignorance of the ways of God. I'm tired of shadow boxing, living my life by guesswork, hoping I am right. You can step into a level of predictability and excellence in your spiritual life through knowledge. It says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number four, why do we lose in this kingdom? Don't forget what we're dealing with. We're examining why believers lose. Number one, I said, is lack of discernment. Number two, carelessness. Number three, ignorance of the ways of God. Ignorance of the laws of the kingdom. People lose financially because they do not understand the kingdom truths allocated for their excellence on that wise. People lose to principalities and powers and demons and live defeated lives because they do not understand the weapons of victory that have been given to the believer. Just knowing that victory has been purchased for us in Christ does not administer victory to you. The administration of victory is by light. Are we together now? Yes. So just being aware does not bless you. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 18, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It takes knowledge. It takes knowledge. It takes knowledge. It takes knowledge. I commend you to God, he says, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and then to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Are we together? The Bible says an heir for as long as that heir is a child. A child means one who is void of knowledge. It says he differeth not from a slave, even though he be Lord of all. Number four, why do we lose in this kingdom? Abuse and misuse. Write it down, please. Abuse and misuse. A major reason why believers lose. Abuse and misuse. Just write for reference. We may not have the time to go through it. Matthew chapter 25. When you read from verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25, 14 to 30. We abuse and we misuse time. This was the story of the, what they call it now? The three people who were given talents, parable of the talents, one, five, one, two, and the other one. And you can see how careful and intentional the first two were. The last person was careless. He went and buried his talent. You bury seeds, not talents. You see that? And when the master came, he said, I know you are a hard man. You like reaping where you did not sow. So I thought that instead of wasting your talent, I do you a favor by burying it. Here is your talent. And he called him a wicked and unprofitable servant. Abuse. The word abuse comes from two words. Abnormal use. Abnormal use. People abuse opportunities. They abuse access. They abuse moments. And they lose. Many people have abused access to great people, access to great minds. We continue to lose because of abuse. Abuse of privileges. Remember in 2 Samuel, just write it for reference again. 2 Samuel chapter 2. Well, let's read from 12 to 17, but the entire text is from chapter 12 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12 down to chapter 1 Samuel chapter 2 down to 1 Samuel chapter 4. This was the story of the sons of Eli. But let's just look at chapter 2, 1 Samuel 2 from verse 12 to 17. The Bible talks about the sons of Eli. Remember, Hophni and Phinehas. The Bible says the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Read to 17. It says, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifices, the priest's servants came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And they struck into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. It was a privilege of priesthood. And this principle still works till today in the body of Christ. Are you seeing that now? There are privileges that priesthood brings, but there can be the abuse of it. To cut the long story short, it was that when the meat or whatever the sacrifice was boiling, you are given the privilege to put that fork, and whatever you bring out, it is your own blessing from the Lord. But Hophni and Phinehas said, before you boil it, let us clearly look at it and pick. You see that they kept taking advantage of the fact that their father was a priest. You will see their end. Remember the story Ichabod, when the ark of God was taken, they were also captured and killed. They brought Eli a report and said, listen, your sons are dead. That was not even what disturbed him. They said the ark of the Lord has been captured. He fell down, broke his neck, and that was the end of it. Abuse, abuse, abuse. And misuse. Many of us have misused privileges. We have misused opportunities. Have you heard people say, I'm connected to so many people and none of them can help me? Find out why none of them can help you, even though you are close to them. You abuse access to their numbers. You call them every time and say, you are not answering me. Have you forgotten we are relatives? Abuse. And you know, sadly speaking, Africa, we are masters of abuse. We abuse opportunities. We abuse moments. You have acts. There is an entitlement mentality. Are we together now? We just believe that someone somewhere owes us to succeed and come and bring an honorarium from that success. Abuse and misuse. Number five. Why do people lose? The final reason I'll give you is tests and trials. It is true that when we go through seasons of tests and trials, like the Bible shows, it is possible that we lose things. In James chapter 1 from verse 2 and 3, James chapter 1 from verse 2 and 3, here's what the Bible says. Brethren, so he's talking to brethren. He's not talking to they who are outside of faith. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, he says. Knowing this, your confidence should be based on this knowledge, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Are we together now? It is true that when people are going through seasons of prunings and trainings, it's an uncomfortable truth. But it is true that people momentarily can lose things. Are we together? We read all through scripture that people were constrained. When David was in the cave of Adullam, running away, he lost several things, opportunities, even though he had people there with him. When Joseph, on account of his diligence and his honor to God and to the integrity of his person, he found himself in the prison. He lost the opportunity to be the head. Even though he was a slave, there were privileges that were withdrawn from him. So there are times that we go through seasons that, on account of the dealings of God in our lives, on account of several things, it is possible that we can lose some of these things. Maybe you are a person of integrity in the office, and on account of your integrity, it's possible that momentarily you can lose a few things, privileges, opportunities. These are the five reasons I have examined from scripture and from experience why people lose. Let me do a 1 minute recap. Lack of discernment, carelessness, ignorance of the laws of the kingdom, abuse and misuse, then tests and trials. But I have good news for you, that in the name of Jesus, it does not matter by which means, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, there must be restoration in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, please pay attention. Let me give you, by the Spirit, about four keys that are responsible for restoration. Are you ready? Number one, the first key that is truly responsible for restoration, if you want God to restore moments, time, or whatever it is in your life, the first key is self-examination. The power of self-examination. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. It says to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Examine yourself. Can I tell you this? When people are downcast, they do not take the personal responsibility of saying, listen, why am I here? This is not self-condemnation. You have to learn to sit with yourself. Why are things not working for this family? Why is it that I have been in Lagos for 10 years and I've only celebrated the testimony of others? There is something about the responsibility of thoughtfulness that most believers do not submit themselves to. You have to sit down and ask yourself honest questions. The Bible says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Luke chapter 15 from verse 17. I'll just cut it and start from verse 17. This is a very classic story that demonstrates responsibility and the power of self-examination. This is the story of the prodigal son. The Bible says when he came to, he never said the Holy Ghost spoke to him. It is within your power to come to yourself. Sometimes you see pain is a gift, because it can bring you to a point where you come to yourself. It is true. When things happen too cheap, when you keep reaping harvest for seeds you did not sow, there are many of us who have been shielded by the love of others, and it has never given us an opportunity to examine ourselves. Whether you sow or not, someone's harvest, he will share it with you. And chances are excellent that you can think that because you are receiving a harvest outsourced from another, you don't see the value of seed time. You don't see the value of anything because someone else is shielding you. The power of self-examination. You must learn this. Have a time where you stay alone with God. Lock yourself, go somewhere and say, Lord, I am not happy at the way my life is going. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1 says, it says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, he seeketh and intermeddleth with wisdom. Once you separate yourself, you have separated yourself from foolishness too. The moment you take the pain of separating yourself, it is wisdom you will encounter. Are we together? Yes. Why is my business not working? Why is my spiritual life not working? I've been born again for 10 years, but I barely know anything about the principles of scripture. Why is it that I'm not attentive in church? You have to examine yourself and ask yourself very honest questions. The power of self-examination. Number two, what is the second key that makes for restoration? Brokenness. Psalm 51 and verse 17, brokenness. Do you know what brokenness is? Brokenness is a state of recognition. Recognizing your inadequacy, your inability to help yourself unassisted. That if God does not come into this equation of my life to help me, my best will still be limited. Brokenness. Many people want God to restore them, restore their dignity and their honor, but that sense of self-righteousness and pride is still alive there. In the story of the prodigal son, listen, the father did not come to meet the rebellious, arrogant son. The father came to meet a son that was already repentant and was ready to be restored. Are we together? Brokenness is very powerful. You walked out on your CEO and you lost your job. You are secretly hoping you will get back to the job, but you do not have the humility to be broken to admit that I was wrong. And somehow you are hoping. It does not work that way. Brokenness is not something you assume. It is a state that everyone around you will know this person is broken. There are many people today, if they were broken enough, they would have relationships restored together with the privileges. If that boy sat down there, the prodigal son, I presume if he stayed one more year in that foolishness, he would have died because he was already close to death. He said, how many hired servants does my father have, and I'm here feeding with the swine? I will arise and I will go to my father, and when I meet him I will say, Father, I have sinned. I won't say, Father, it was just my mind was playing some emotional games. Call it what it is. I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven. The character of brokenness is that it admits without shame. Are we together? Pastor, I am sorry I offended you. This is not the way it should be. It was carelessness. I take full responsibility. That's brokenness. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou will not despise. Many people are unable to experience restoration in their lives because they are not genuinely broken. Genuinely broken. There are many children who would get back the support of their parents, their sponsors, their loved ones, if only they communicate brokenness in truth and in sincerity. Is that true? Brokenness. Number three, what's the third key that makes for restoration? Knowledge. 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 Proverbs 11, I believe verse 9 says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Isaiah chapter 60 says, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You arise and you shine when your light comes. Knowledge. Knowledge of what? Not knowledge of your situation or knowledge of what you want. Knowledge of what it takes. Listen, most people know what they want. They even know what they don't want. But they do not have the knowledge of what it takes. Is that true? So, this is what I want. I desire this so desperately. And this is it here. The Bible says that this should be given to me. But you must know, have the requisite level of spiritual illumination that takes you from prophecy to experience. Otherwise, you will keep wishing things that will never manifest in your life. It takes more than knowing what God has said. It takes more than knowing what God has told you to have it. Is that true? You must find out the participatory condition he has connected to that promise. Your acting in keeping with the condition is your demonstration of faith. That faith is not just believing alone. Believing is part of the process of faith. Faith is the name given to the action of obedience you take as a sign that you believe God. I don't know if I've demonstrated it here, but say for instance, I call this gentleman and I say, come and pick this. You see, don't come, but just say you are coming. Say you are coming. Look at this. Shout it again. Say I'm coming. 2018, say you are coming. 2019, say you are coming. 2020, the promise is still there waiting. You have not manifested faith. You've just been wishing that you will have it. And someone will come in 2022. My brother, walk and come and collect it. And you are wondering, where did you come from? It is the person who took the action of faith. Lord, I'm going to build a house. You've never found out where there's an empty land. You are waiting for your bank account. It does not cost money to go and know where land is. And say, Lord, I have seen the land. And someone who came from nowhere, now the person is roofing his house and you are wondering. Faith is not just saying what God has said. Faith is doing what it takes as prescribed by scripture to make what God has said be manifest in your life. Are we together? Thank you. Knowledge. We need high level spiritual illumination. Let me challenge you. I want you to go back home and write a list of all the areas in your life where you have not seen the word of God produce the kind of result that you desire, knowing that God is glorified in your results. Remember what the Bible says. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see. God wants men to see, because in seeing the result that proceeds from you, they will glorify God. Herein is our Father glorified. John 15 and verse 8. When ye bear much fruit, not little fruit, sustainable, predictable results brings glory to the name of the Lord. Are we together? Galatians 1:25, it says, and they glorified God in me. They glorified God in me. The excellency of the workings of the word in and through your life, it compels all and sundry to know that Jesus Christ is lifted and glorified in and through your life. God is counting on everyone here as a membership, counting on individuals, that through your life will become a living epistle. Someone will look at your life this year, and anything he did not understand in the morning, he will look at your life for the explanation. If he read his Bible in the morning and he saw that God was faithful, that God is faithful, and he did not get that Bible study, God will tell him, look at this pastor as an explanation, a clarification to what you have learned. That's what it means to be a living epistle. Your life explains what people do not understand about God. When God says that he can favor men, if they say, Lord, is it real that you can favor men? He personifies his word, embodies it in an individual, so that you become a demonstration of it. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. There are certain results that are not within the realm of men. When you see men manifest that result, it was outsourced from a dimension that is higher than this human dimension. And I'm praying for someone here, the frequency of results that you will begin to walk in, you will be the first person surprised by your results in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, do not allow anybody downplay the place of results. Your Christian experience will remain a frustrated experience if you do not have genuine, notable results. Gentiles will not come to you. They will come to your light. Their kings will not come to your light. They will come to the brightness of your rising. Preachers, here, whether in this ministry or those who came, this is the year to contend for high levels of spiritual power, high levels of wisdom, the kind of wisdom that is connected to mighty works. Business people, this is the year to operate at a dimension that your contemporaries will come to you and say, we have discerned that God is with you. Believe what I'm saying. Results are powerful. Results can evangelize. There are certain messages that only results can preach. The Bible said the Greek seek for a sign. The world is tired of vain explanations from Christians. One genuine result in the name of the Lord can bring to end decades of confusion. Knowledge. We rise in this kingdom by knowledge. There is what you must know. There is what you must know to reign and to excel. There is what you must know to remain on fire. There is what you must know to access the spirit of wisdom. There is what you must know about kingdom influence. There is what you must know about longevity. There is what you must know about wealth and abundance. There is what you must know about dominion over systems and structures. There is what you must know about relationships. The question is, which aspect of your life are you short? Go back and become a spiritual archaeologist. He said, for everyone that seeketh, findeth. Jesus gave a parable. We are praying now. He gave a parable and he said, the kingdom is likened to an individual who lost a coin in a room. The coin means a treasure. The power to make purchases was missing in the room. He knew that that coin is somewhere. The first thing he did was he brought light. The second thing he did was to carry a broom and started sweeping. I know this breakthrough is somewhere in scripture. I don't know what verse, I don't know what principle, but I know in scripture God lifts. I know in scripture God restores. I've not understood the dynamics. You are sweeping with messages, sweeping with prophetic words. And the Bible says she found it and she rejoiced. Can I tell you this? Every time you claim you have found something and it does not show in your life, you are yet to find it. I found your word and it was a joy and a rejoicing to my soul. Listen, light is powerful. Light is powerful. When you find this thing, you have found it. Believe me, listen, you can gain mastery in the spirit. You truly can gain mastery in the spirit. It says, he that strives for mastery is not crowned except he strives lawfully. Move past the realm of trial and error, shadow boxing and hoping that one thing or the other will work. You can rise to a level of predictability in your Christian experience. That you wake up in the morning and you know you will be favored today. You know. Paul said, but I know whom I have believed. He said, I am persuaded. Knowledge. You must submit yourself through the labor dimension of faith to access knowledge. No matter how great a door is, there is a small key that opens it. And you can put that key in your pocket. But if that key is missing, you can stand before that door from morning till night. But then if you find the key that is knowledge, you need understanding. Because there are times that you can have the key and the dynamics of opening that door. Some doors you turn once, some doors you turn twice. For others, you turn and do some other things. The Bible says, in all thy getting, get understanding. Knowledge tells you what to do. Understanding tells you how to do it. Knowledge says, give. But understanding tells you how to give in a way that prospers you. Knowledge tells you, pray. Understanding tells you how to pray to get results. Knowledge says fast. Understanding tells you the kind of fast that has been commanded. It's good to have knowledge, but in addition to knowledge, have understanding. Understanding brings stability to your life. My time is up. Number four, the last, and then we'll pray. Be sensitive now. I want to pray for you. The fourth key that activates restoration is the prophetic. Someone's life is changing. Isaiah 42 and verse 22. Isaiah 42 and verse 22. Never forget this scripture. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth. Read with me. They are for a spoil and none sayeth, restore. Restoration does not just happen. Someone must say it. None sayeth, restore. None sayeth, restore. In 2 Kings chapter 6, when you read the first 7 verses very quickly, 2 Kings chapter 6, this was a very interesting rendition. The Bible says, the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we meet with you is too small. So it was a desire to advance. Next verse, it says, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thee every man a beam, and let us make a place where we may dwell. And he answered and said, go ye. Verse 3. And one said, be content, I pray thee, go with thy servants. And he answered and he said, I will go. Verse 4. So he went with them, and they came to Jordan and cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. He cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Wise man. Many people would try to jump inside the river and die there. No, there are certain results that you cannot just get it by yourself. God has positioned people within the body that in addition and in connection to your faith, this man cried and said, "Alas, master, I'm in trouble. I borrowed this." The prophet said, "Where fell it?" And he answered, he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. The iron did swim. The finances that left you did come back. Because you see, everything that left you is still on earth. Under a certain condition, it can come back. This is true. Please listen to me. When the prophetic is administered outside the boundary of scripture, it just becomes a display of ignorance with no potency and power. But when the prophetic is administered within the jurisdiction of scripture, it works wonders. Listen to me, my beloved people, there is a dimension of growth and restoration and excellence that only the prophetic can bring to your life. When you lose money, it's not another business that will bring the money back. No, you will only waste your time and keep digging deeper. It is the prophetic that will bring it back. It may look like a physical structure brought it back, but it is the prophetic. The economy of a whole land had gone down, and a prophet said, "By this time tomorrow." He gave it the timing. And by the morrow, there was restoration. I saw this vision and I knew that the Lord wanted me to teach and charge and prophesy restoration. Listen to me. God can restore men. God can restore things. And God can restore time. Do you know how God restores time? He does not take you backward. He takes what was in your yesterday that should have happened that did not happen. He brings it into your tomorrow. Are you getting the point now? You have to understand how God restores, because God does not exist in time. He does not even exist in eternity, because eternity is time. It's just time without end. Infinite summations, summations of infinite dispensations. God dwells in a realm that is neither eternity nor time. So there is nothing like past, present, and future with God. That reality is only given to men to help us relate with God. There is no such thing as a future. There is no such thing as past. God's realm is now. That's it. So your yesterday is as clear and real to God as your tomorrow. There is no difference. Are we together? So he can move something that should have happened in year 2015. Maybe at that time, when that prophetic word would have come, you were not sensitive. God can move it into January and February and make it happen in your life. This is restoration. In 1 minute, wherever you are, I want you to pray very passionately and cry based on this word. Ask the Lord to bring restoration. Don't waste this moment. Go ahead and pray. All the centers that are following overflows, those following online, here is your chance to contact the grace that makes for restoration. Lift your voice and pray. Shanakata brande gede belekosia. He barakos kade la kashande la katsozi beheske dialasi. And I will restore. Shabrate keska di balakosi diash. Krande barakatuska di breti gelahasia. Someone pray. Kata pratege da lakos kati brende la hasieta. Shabres kati la suda balakusia. Let there be restoration. Pray. God can restore people, relationships. God can restore things. And God can restore years. Someone is praying, Lord, I've wasted 10, 15 years of my life. I wasted it not being a believer, but now in Christ. I am aware that it is within your power to restore. I call for that restoration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and by a prophet, the Lord God brought Israel out of Egypt. It was the Lord that brought them, but the instrument was the prophetic. It says, and by a prophet they were preserved. Let me read this one scripture, and then I'll just take 2 or 3 minutes to just minister and speak over your life, and we'll end with an altar call. Nehemiah chapter 5 from verse 11. Please do not forget this scripture. Nehemiah chapter 5 from verse 11. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses, also 100th part of the money, and of the corn, and wine, and oil that ye exact of them. Listen to that scripture. Someone is making a decree. He said, restore everything. Their lands, vineyards, olive yards, houses, 100th part of the money, the corn, the wine, the oil. Verse 12. Then said they, we will obey, we will restore them, and will require nothing of them. So we will do as thou sayest. Then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to his promise. It was the priest that came to seal it. A command has come, restore, but there must be the priest that says, sign, you must make this happen. Restore. Restore my joy. Restore victory. Restore everything. Listen. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it says we were like them that dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter, and they testified among the heathen. The Lord had done great things for them. It says the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Then it says, turn again our captivity like the streams of the Negev. I sense in my spirit that there are people here. I tell you, I sense such a strong anointing. We just have about 2 or 3 minutes. We're not taking too much time. But I want you to believe in the power of God. The power of God is his currency for purchasing realities for believers. That as a result of this encounter, many of you will return with tearsome testimonies and will say, I've not seen it in this fashion before. Hallelujah. There are 3 categories of people I want to pray with very quickly. Very, very quickly. And then I just speak over our lives. Number one, I want to impart the grace for speed. Listen, truly believe me when I tell you there is a grace for speed. There is an exact grace
for speed. That when that grace comes upon an individual, you know, because you will have dominion over time. Dominion over time. Many of us are limited by time. Dominion over time. I want to pray for you. I sense such a strong anointing. I'm seeing the number 24, even though I'm going to pray for everyone. We have just, my time is up, so we'll not have, we still have a session hopefully tomorrow, either here or any of the centers, but I want you to be very, very sensitive. I want to pray now. There are people you are moving, but your life is too slow. You don't have all the time for that level of slow movement. I want to pray. There are people who will start running by the anointing. Please, I want you to help them. If you can bring them out here, let's have them. I stretch my hands to the God of heaven. No, you don't have to come out. The anointing will bring you out. In the name of Jesus, right now, by the rod of the apostolic and the prophetic, I decree and declare, bring them out. Paratos shanekatea, kebre katos. Speed, take that grace. Take that grace in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God. I decree and declare over families, over businesses. Speed, speed, speed. HICC Lekki, hear the word of the Lord. I decree and declare over you, speed in the name of Jesus. Speed in business. Speed in your spiritual adventure. My goodness, may that hand of God rest upon you in the mighty and marvelous name of Jesus. Bring them out if you can. Just 1 minute and we're done. Parandes kadila katosiata. Every delay that has kept you bound so that you want to move forward and you're unable to move forward, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come by the privilege of the election of grace and I declare, those chains, let you go now. Let you go now. Let you go now. Paros kati bakato seketea. Embrekete kapatos kati lakata. Speed. Speed. Every closed door that will not let you move forward, I speak to that door. Efata, be open. Efata, be open. Doors of opportunities. In the name of Jesus, doors of grace, doors of new seasons, doors of discernment, doors of the prophetic, doors of the apostolic, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything you have lost that left your life and should not have left, I stand by the power of the prophetic. Between now and the next 3 months, I call upon my God. Hear me, I'm speaking to you. Everything that left Kapatos Kadigata, that left your life, your destiny, in 90 days, by the Spirit of grace, I command it to be restored now. Everywhere, the overflows, the centers, be restored, be restored, be restored, be restored, be restored. And anyone holding what should get to your hands and has refused to release it, I call upon the God of Jeshurun, the one who rides upon the wings of the wind, let it be restored 100-fold. Every pending project that you've started and has refused to be completed, the Bible says the hand of Zerubbabel that began this work, that same hand will perfect it. I pray 2022, I speak it, that let this be your year of completion. What God has started in your life, this is the year you will see it completed. Hallelujah. Final prayer for you. Every destiny helper anointed to locate you and partner with prophecy as far as your restoration is concerned, wherever they are, I prophesy to the north, the south, and the east and the west, by the spirit of grace, I call them to your life now. I call them to Abakosh Ketebeleka Tabasia. I call them to your life now. HICC, hear me. I speak to you by the spirit of grace. Enlarge to the left. Enlarge to the right. Enlarge to the east. Enlarge to the west. Break forth to new seasons. In the name of Jesus Christ. Businesses, break forth. Families, break forth. Ministries, break forth. Career, break forth. In the name of Jesus. That when men say there is a casting down, for you let it be that this year there is a lifting up. Hear me? Everyone who is part of this spiritual family, whether here represented in this branch, across the other branches, connecting from around the world, I speak and I decree and declare, in the name of Jesus, as God has declared to the man of God and his wife, I join my faith with them and I speak, this year, may you see a performance of prophecy. In the name of Jesus, and for all who are out here, I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that everything limiting you, it goes for your sake now. You will go and return with testimonies from this night, not tomorrow, from this night, in the name of Jesus Christ. Please return to your seats rejoicing. Now very quickly, we're out of time. I want to make an altar call. Listen, we are in the days of his power. We are in the days where it is costly to reject Jesus. Here's what the Bible says. Please look up. Let me have your attention. All the overflows, all the centers following, please pay attention. There are men and women, you must find them in every meeting ordained by God and of God, who come there in need of genuine salvation. Others in need of restoration, spiritual restoration. And I believe there are people in this auditorium, all the overflows and all those who are following, you're saying, Apostle, I genuinely need Jesus Christ, not just as a religious or church thing. I need a functional relationship with the God of the Bible. And there are others who are saying, Apostle, I need restoration. As it stands, I cannot say I'm proud of my spiritual life. I know that I need restoration. Very quickly, we have just a minute for you. Wherever you are inside here, I want you to quickly come and stand before me. I'm going to count 1 to 5. Run like there's fire on the mountain. 1. You want to make Jesus Lord of your life? Please don't come arbitrarily. Make sure you understand what you are doing. 2. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till your work on earth is done. The greatest experience that the believer can have is the experience of receiving the life of Jesus in this encounter that we call the new birth, an exchange of your weakness for his strength, his life imparted into your spirit. For all of you who are in front here, whether making a first time decision or rededicating your hearts to Jesus, please lift your hands high above your head. Say this after me truthfully. Don't play games with God. We are in the days where we need high level spirituality to excel in this life. Some of you are crying. There's no reason to be ashamed. This is an encounter with Jesus. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart, and I believe
that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I come before you just as I am. I ask you to wash me, to cleanse me, make me anew. I believe that Jesus is my Savior, my Lord, and King. And I receive eternal life into my spirit. From today, I am a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you for these ones. They have come declaring your lordship over their lives. And scripture declares that as many who would come to you, you will in no wise cast away. I pray by the authority of scripture, and I declare that your sins are forgiven. And I decree and declare that you are recipients of the life of God. In the name of Jesus, I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. From tonight and forever, you walk in the newness of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, I see forms. Okay, just be patient. The counselors are handing you over a card. Please do well to have the card before you go back. Now, here's what we'll require of you. Please do well to complete the cards legibly. And I believe that after the service, there should be an usher of someone who you can pass it to. Complete all the details required. Make sure you have the card. Once you have the card, you can do well to go back to your seat. I hope I'm right on that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And for all of us who are left, I declare one last time that in the name of Jesus, as a result of this encounter, every expectation that you have, the Bible says your expectation will not be cut short. I pray for you. Everything that represents a request by the God of heaven, who is my God and your God, I declare, let it come to pass speedily. In the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Reverend Akila and your dear wife, thank you. Request that we open our hearts at this time. The Bible says that they looked unto Peter, the man at Gate Beautiful, expecting to receive. You must expect to receive. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I trust that our moments together would be life transforming. And I know that when God gathers us like this, while I sat, Reverend was telling me how that there are multiple overflows, and I can see people even standing on fences. You can imagine how very humbling this is. This is what happens when the Spirit of God is moving in a place. I believe that by this conference, alongside many other meetings, I know that God is doing something remarkable upon the plateau. And in Jesus' name, we declare that which he desires to do, that he will do without restraint. In Jesus' name. Are you ready to say a word of prayer? Please lift your voice in 1 minute and ask the Lord for a definite encounter tonight, a definite visitation. A definite visitation. Someone is praying. Ask the Lord to give you a visitation tonight. And that while his word comes to us, let the sick be healed, let the oppressed be delivered by his sent word. Are you still praying? Is full of truth that works. And every time we have the opportunity to open the scripture, we must give the Holy Spirit a chance. And so whilst you are seated or standing, I want you to be sensitive. You are not just hearing a man teach. You're hearing the Lord reveal many things about your destiny. You're hearing the Lord address very definite issues of your life. I do not believe that we come before him and go back the same. For scripture declares that he has not called the seed of Jacob to seek him in vain.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You have won it all for me. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
One more time.
Sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Have won the victory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So let our King be lifted. Let your name let your praise be lifted up. Oh, Zion. Jesus, you be lifted higher, higher, be lifted higher. Jesus, you be shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. We'll see you high and lifted up. You are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. We sing holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love
as
we sing holy, holy, holy.
Father, tonight we pray that this indeed will be a moment of encounter. We pray tonight that this will open us up to new realms, new levels of grace, that your word will come with power unrestrained to heal, to deliver, to lift, to transform, to give direction in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, we pray that you have your way in our midst and let Jesus be glorified. For in Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Please give Jesus a big hand clap and you may be seated. Hallelujah. I'll be teaching along the theme of the conference. And then somewhere along the line, we will pause to pray and wrap up for the night. Wherever he leads us, we'll follow accordingly. But whilst that is happening, like I have urged us, let us be sensitive, because when he comes to make, he comes to build, he comes to lift, and he comes to empower. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's start tonight with Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 1 to 5. Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 1 to 5. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. We're reading to 5. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she had received of the Lord double for all her sins. Next verse. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley, he says, shall be exalted. Somebody should shout amen. And every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The Bible is very clear as to the fact that God desires that the fullness of his glory be revealed in the midst of his people. It has always been his desire that his people experience the full weight of his glory. Now, in very simple terms, for the sake of this conference, the glory of anything is an attempt to describe what makes it valuable. So, the glory of a thing describes its essence and every feature represented in it that makes it worth our admiration and worth our desire. When you talk about glory, the root expression of the word glory is the weightiness of a thing. It was used in ancient times to measure money. You know, the coins that they had, gold. So the heavier, the weightier, the more valuable. So when we talk about the glory of a thing, anything at all, we have to investigate the various components that make whatever that is special or great or unique. I give you an instance. The glory of an electronic gadget like this phone or your iPad or whatever it is, for you to appreciate the glory of that gadget, you will have to study the features that make that gadget expensive and makes it desirable. Are we together now? You cannot truly understand the glory of a thing until you can dissect the various characteristics of that object. So when we talk about the glory of God, we refer to all the dimensions of God that make him God. The glory of God is a summation of his wisdom, his power, his goodness, his mercy, his kindness. Everything that all together makes God, God. And the Bible says he desires that the full expression of all the multifaceted dimensions of him find expression in our lives and across our territories. And may that be someone's miracle tonight. That your life will suddenly become a capture. Do you know what that means? It means the apostle puts it this way. He calls us living epistles. You know what that means? You become a continuation of what was written in the Bible. That means if someone did not have his quiet time, he will stop feeling bad when he sees you, because you are a continuation of the scripture that he was reading. Everything he read that he did not understand, your life becomes an explanation of it. A revelation of the glory of God.
In Isaiah 35, we'll read very quickly from verse 1 to 6, then I'll begin to teach. Isaiah chapter 35, 1 to 6. The wilderness, it says, and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Next verse. It says, strengthen ye the weak and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. The eyes, when the glory of the Lord is revealed, part of the many things that happen as attestations to the fact that his glory has been revealed is that the eyes of the blind will open spiritually and physically. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Verse 6. The Bible says, then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall the waters break out and streams in the desert. The glory of God is a revelation of everything that makes God God. So when you talk about manifesting or revealing the glory of God, it means that you desire to see all the attributes of God in full display. The attributes of wisdom. Wisdom beyond your age. Wisdom beyond your level of exposure. Wisdom beyond your education. A manifestation of wisdom that dumbfounds principalities and powers. The Bible calls it the hidden wisdom of God that he has reserved for our glory. So there is an expression of the glory of God revealed as wisdom. There is the expression of God revealed as power. The ability to be invincible, to subdue principalities and powers, to subdue circumstances, and to bring them to the obedience of Christ. Can I tell you this? When you say and it happens, you are powerful. The litmus test of spiritual power is found in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 2 to 4. We'll go there maybe later on or in another session. But this is what it means to have power in this kingdom. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now watch power in action. And God said, and there was. That is power. When you say and it becomes, it is a display of genuine power. When you say and it becomes, it is a revelation of the glory of God that is not given to man. Man cannot demonstrate that level of possibility unassisted. When you speak and it happens, it reveals to us that you are being assisted by an agency that is not human. Because humans cannot just speak and it happens. And then the Bible says in verse 4, it is not just to speak and it happens. The Bible says we must see it. And what appears must be good. If you say it and it happens and we see it and it is good, it is the power of God. Listen carefully. This is the highest standard given to man to press into. God demonstrates what he means by spiritual power. We are discussing attributes that make up the glory. When the centurion came to Jesus, he said, for I am a man under authority. I have servants. I can say to one, go, and he goeth. I can say to one, come, and he cometh. When you tell things, go, and they go. When you tell things, come, and they come. When you tell situations leave and they leave, you are demonstrating a level of power that no human was born with. The revelation of the glory of God, manifesting possibilities that are not human. The wisdom of God, the power of God. Are we blessed? There are also certain attributes, other attributes of the glory of God. For instance, the blessing of the Lord upon the life of a man. I'm just giving you a background, and then we'll teach on the core topic that the Lord put in my heart tonight. But we have to understand this. For instance, the blessing of the Lord. When you manifest certain levels of wealth and the blessing of the Lord that is beyond the intelligence of men, it's not just about the display of money. You demonstrate the intelligence of a government that is not earthly. Are we together now? The Bible says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. It says, let not the strong man or the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. It says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. There are other dimensions of glory, like speed. You see, let me tell you, the highest level of dominion is dominion over time. Listen carefully. You can have dominion over things, but when you have dominion over time, because the unit of destiny is time. True dominion is dominion over time. Because you see, from a human standpoint, time only moves forward. It cannot move backward. Are we together now? And that your destiny is represented in time. So when time goes before you and you do not maximize it, you are already disadvantaged. The ability to have dominion over time and command things like speed and restoration. Now that is real dominion over time, where God takes your 10 years and puts it in 1 year. There are other expressions of glory like favor. When someone just decides to invest their credibility, their love, their resources upon you, it is not normal, because the heart of man by default is desperately wicked. Whatever will make a man forget about his own agenda and turn to you with a determination to see that you succeed, it cannot be human. Are we together? And there is a clear proof of favor. When the favor of God is at work in you, the Bible gives us very clear indices. For instance, Exodus 3 and verse 21. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Being empty has a spiritual explanation. Are we together? It takes favor to be established territorially, that God will give you space, because there is a dimension of dominion that is represented in land, and it takes the manifestation of favor for that to happen. Psalms 44 and verse 3. Psalms 44 and verse 3. They got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand, thine and thy arm, the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. There are many other dimensions of favor, like honor. You know what honor is? Honor means to be perceived to match your true worth. It is possible to be this high, but to be perceived this low. Honor makes sure that the perception people have about you is a true representation of your sacrifice. Many people do not have honor. They are good people, but that grace is not upon their life. Are we together? Yes. So these are the various expressions of glory. So when your life becomes an effulgence of the glory of God, we expect to see in perpetual display every day these dimensions, from his wisdom to his favor to speed to excellence. You see that now? Excellence is another expression of that glory. To excel means to surpass ordinary standards. Oh Lord our God, he says, how excellent. His name is not only great, his name excels. Is someone learning tonight? Yes. So God desires that my life and your life become and remain expressions of his glory. That our lives will consistently be testaments of what God can do in and through men. So from his wisdom, to his wealth, to his favor, to his blessing, to speed, to honor, your life becomes a recycling experience of these divine attributes. It will be impossible for this dark world to ignore you under that condition. The Bible says, arise, it says, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It says, for darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But upon you the glory of the Lord shall arise. And then verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 60, it says, Gentiles or nations shall come to your light, and even their proud kings to the brightness of your rising. Listen, it is impossible to be ignored when your life becomes a perpetual effulgence of these attributes of glory. When Jesus walked upon the earth, listen, you know what made Jesus unique? It was not just that he was the Son of God. They saw a display. Never had they seen such a rich combination of godlike qualities in a man. Never had they seen a display of wisdom and favor and power and love and kindness. That invincibility was, they said, who are you? The wisdom of God, then the favor of God, then the power of God. He will rebuke devils and they would leave. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? To hear is not enough. They must obey. Are we together? Listen, I'm teaching you this because Jesus said, as my Father had sent me, he said, so send I you. You know what it means? As my Father has sent me with the same equipping, I send you. Your life should never be ordinary by any standard. Regardless the background, regardless the geography of your assignment, you don't have to be a man of God. You just need to be a believer with understanding. Unfortunately, dear people of God, many people do not live up to that standard. It is a mandate upon us that our lives reveal the glory of God. Here's how the Bible puts it. Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 5. When you read from verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. The assignment of salt is to add value and to preserve. Is that true? You are the salt of the earth, he says. That if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing but to be thrown down and, you know, cast down and trodden underfoot by men. Then he now tells us, you are the light of the world. You are in the similitude of a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. He says, neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a lampstand and it gives light to everyone there. So let your light so shine before men that they might see your good deeds, the display of these divine attributes. According to God's desire for men, your lips should not be the only instrument preaching the gospel. Your life should also be an evangelist. not just in holiness and character. That is wonderful. But there should be a display of such possibility that people will look at you and say, is Saul also one of the prophets? From whence did you fetch this level of excellence and intelligence and power and grace? Psalms 82 and verse 5, the tragedy. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, the Bible says, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Verse 6 says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. The tragedy is in verse 7, but you shall die like mere men and fall like one of these princes. The gap between prophecy and experience is knowledge. Not the knowledge of what you want, the knowledge of what it takes to manifest what you want. Many people know what they want. Midwifing prophecy and experience is knowledge. High-level spiritual illumination. It is for this reason he gave unto some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? For the maturing of the saints. That the saints now matured will do the work of the ministry until we all come to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. Are we learning? For the time that I have, let me pick one of those attributes or one of those requirements that will help us manifest the glory of God. And I'll just give a charge on it and we'll pray. Hallelujah. John 11 and verse 40, Jesus was teaching. This was Jesus about to raise Lazarus. The Bible says how that he loved Lazarus. Now Lazarus was dead. And they came crying and were probing as to why Jesus did not come on time. And Jesus made a very instructive statement. He said, Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. You can see the glory of God manifesting as the power of God to raise the dead, but that you need to understand that your faith must be alive. I want to teach very briefly about faith. You know, I have discovered sincerely that most believers talk about faith. Most believers write books about faith even. But there are very few people who truly understand Bible faith. Hallelujah. If you do not understand the subject of faith, you will never truly be able to manifest the glory of God. There is a relationship between your faith in God and the expression of the glory of God in and through your life. If you're with me, please shout amen. Four times in scripture, the Bible tells us, I'll just read it through. We may not have the time to project it for the sake of time. So I'll just read it so that we'll go to the main discourse. The just, the Bible says, shall live by faith. Four scriptures. You may want to write this down very quickly. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. It tells us that the just lives by faith. Habakkuk 2 and 4. Romans 1:17 also tells us that the just shall live even by his faith. Romans 1:17. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11 also repeats this, that the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11. Finally, Hebrews chapter 10 is that 38? That the just shall live by faith. So four scriptures. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10 and verse 38. All of these scriptures point very clearly that the just lives by faith. In Mark chapter 11, from verse 22 to 24, theologically speaking, this is one of the classics on the discourse of Jesus about the subject of faith. He rebuked the tree that would not produce and it withered. the disciples were perplexed. They wondered how a man could just speak to a tree and not use an axe or anything physical to fell it. And by in 24 hours, the tree would have withered. And Jesus was giving them an understanding. He said, have faith in God. Men like Papa Hagen would interpret this to mean have the faith of God. Next verse, 23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, the Bible leaves you with an assurance that he shall have whatsoever he saith. Next verse. Here is the law of faith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, it says, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and thou shall have them. Are we together? Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance, the tangibility of the things that you hope for. It calls it the evidence of the things not seen. The evidence, the purchasing power. Like, you can ask me, I can ask you to give me a bottle of water or get me a bottle of water. The moment I give you 100 naira or 200 naira, I didn't give you the bottle of water, but I gave you the power to purchase it. Is that true? That's what faith is, the currency that purchases spiritual realities for us in the realm of the spirit. It's called faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, let's look at verse 17. Romans 10, 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It tells you that faith is mobile. It can move from one place to the other. It can move from a location outside your spirit into your spirit. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. And the Bible says it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's define faith in very simple terms. What is faith? Please look up. Faith is not just believing. This is where many sincere believers get it wrong. Faith is more than believing. Believing is part of the process of faith, but faith is not believing. So many people tell you, I believe. That's wonderful. And you may be right. But just because you believe does not mean you have finished walking in keeping with the law of faith. I believe God. I believe I'll be healed. I believe I will prosper. I believe the land will be good for me. I believe my children will be blessed. There are many people believing, and that is wonderful. But hear me, if all you do is just believe, meaning to agree, that is not enough. There are conditions. Listen, every promise in scripture has very specific conditions connected to it for its manifestation. Believing is one of the requirements, but not the only requirement. Are we together? Let's define faith. Here is my definition of faith. That faith is the name given to the action that we take. The name given to the action that we take. Actions of obedience based on our conviction of who God is and the integrity of his word. Faith is the name given to the action of obedience that we take. Not just believing, the name given to the action of obedience that we take. That action is based on our conviction, number one, of who God is, and then the integrity of his word. This is Bible faith. Please, let me have two gentlemen just come here. I want to illustrate something. Any two gentlemen at all, please come. Thank you. Watch this. Let one of you stand here. I believe you can all see them. You just stand here. My friend, come stand. I want to show you what many believers do that we call faith. Now watch this. Let's assume this is what they both desire. Are we together? And now I have told you that I am benevolent enough to let you have this. It is my will and my desire for you to have, in this instance, this handkerchief. Now, this gentleman, when I ask you to come and pick it, tell me you are coming and tell me you believe me, but don't walk. Are you ready? Watch what many of us do. So, I am God in this example. Here is your healing. Here is your breakthrough. Here is your lifting. Here is the favor that I desire to give you. Like I said in my word, come and have it. Are you seeing now? I'm giving it to him. He believes that I'm not lying. And yet he does not have it. 5 years, he's not had it. 10 years, he's not had it. 15 years, he's not had it. His pain now begins to build a theology about God that God cannot reward. Just because he has been 15 years practicing what he believes to be faith, he will mentor other people after his limitation, that all it takes is to just believe. Now, I'm not being critical. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Then comes this fine young man who now understands what faith is. Now, when I ask you, you speak and walk to me. The condition is that you walk to me. Come, pick this. In 1 year, he has gotten it. A result that this man desired for 20 years. And now you are wondering, this is unfair. Because faith is not just believing. Faith is fulfilling the condition attached to commit God. The Bible says, having the readiness to judge all disobedience, if your obedience is complete. In one word, faith is obedience. In one word, faith is obedience. In one word, faith is obedience. If there is no obedience component to your definition of faith, it is not Bible faith. There may be speaking, there may be crying, there may be praying, but if it does not culminate to obedience, in fact, you can even take action. If it's not an action of obedience, it is still not faith. Back to my example, one more time. Please stand, gentlemen. If I ask you to come here, walk to that gentleman, come and pick this. He is taking action, but it's not an action of obedience. He will still suffer like the person who did not take action. Many people are taking action based on what they think should produce results. You don't just act the way you want. I prophesied as I was commanded, not as I wanted. Are we learning? Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you. So faith, in one word, is obedience. Obedience to the scriptural requirements. The scriptural requirements that commit God to reveal his glory in you. Obedience to the scriptural requirements that commit God to reveal his glory in you. This is very powerful. That means for you to manifest Bible faith, you must understand what God has the conditions connected to every promise. Knowing the promise is not enough. You must understand the scriptural requirement that commits God for that promise to be made manifest. Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 and 2. For sake of time, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do, not just to know, observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. It says that the Lord thy God will set thee on high. This is the promise. Claiming that you will rise above the nations is wonderful, but it will only end you in frustration. There is a condition attached to it. And all these blessings shall come upon you and shall overtake you. Most believers have not paid attention to study the participatory roles that they have to play in committing God to reveal His glory in and through them. Whilst Ebed was ministering, I just sat there and I was enjoying the song, but I was also enjoying the excellence. And I thought to myself, look at this man acting my message. I could see a display of competence, not just the spirituality. And you would think it's just grace. It is grace, but it is the enabling grace, because something was done. Excellence has an equation. Something plus something equals excellence. Are we together? You will have to find out the price of competence and rehearsals and discipline and diligence that produce what you celebrated as the manifestation of the glory of God. Now, when you see the glory of God in this on display, it doesn't look like anything was done to prepare them. Remember, the nation of Israel wanted to see the glory of God, and He told them, here is the condition. You are going to go through constraints for 3 days, sanctifying yourself if it is that glory you want to see. There is always a condition. Please look up. You want to prosper in the kingdom and manifest the glory of God. It's not just about claiming prosperity and jumping up and down. There are laws that you must walk in keeping with that enable that dimension of glory to be revealed in you. For instance, the law of diligence. For instance, the law of relationships. For instance, the law of creativity. These are all principles that synergize themselves together. You want to excel in life, you have to walk in keeping with the principles of competence, the discipline of mastery. The Bible says he that strives for mastery is not crowned unless and except he strives lawfully. Are we together? Wishing and hoping that things change will be a total waste of time. Wishing and hoping and superstitiously just waiting for things to change is a total waste of time. We have to understand that if we desire to see the glory of God revealed in our lives, we must understand the principle of faith, the principle of obedience. The Bible says that when men say there is a casting down, we will say there is a lifting up. It did not say we will think. It didn't say we will lift. It says we will say. So your words is part of the instruments of constructing that tower that you'll be lifted to. So you speak regardless what you see. You are declaring, because the word of God says that your words is part of the ingredients that make for your greatness. That means the assignment to discipline and culture yourself to only speak words that are consistent with scripture is your participatory role in seeing that a great destiny happens. You cannot keep speaking words like one who is demonized and have the destiny of one who is disciplined in building with scripture. It cannot happen, because remember, he sits upon a throne that is made of righteousness and justice. Are we learning? Yes, sir. Bible faith is based on 2 attributes of God. Please write it quickly, and then we will pray. You want to manifest Bible faith? It is predicated on 2 attributes of God. Very quickly, attribute number 1. Is called his integrity. Bible faith is hinged on 2 attributes of God. Number 1, his integrity. The word integrity comes from the expression or the word integer, sameness, consistency. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 29. Numbers 23 and 29. Numbers chapter 19. Sorry. 23:19. 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. That means men lie. Men don't lie because they are bad. They lie because they are men. It's a weakness in man that if not assisted through transformation, lying is something that is enshrined in men. For various reasons, they lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. That means he does not make mistakes. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Do you know what this means? That every time God speaks, he submits to what he says. When God speaks, even him is bound by what he said. In ancient times, kings were bound by their words. If they spoke foolishly, they would have to pay the price of stamping a foolish statement or speaking foolishly. Remember in the Bible, there were kings who even were willing to give half of their kingdom for silly reasons. It was lack of wisdom in a king that removed the head of a prophet called John the Baptist. For the dance of a young girl, he was willing to give even half of his kingdom without counsel. And he could not reverse it again. And John died. That's how powerful the word of a king is. Everybody say integrity. Can I tell you this? There are men who are sincere, but they do not have integrity. Not because they are bad. It takes a lot of factors to have integrity. I can tell you, I will meet you by 6 and my car spoils. Regardless the excuse, with respect to that appointment, I did not show integrity. Correct? Now that does not mean I am bad or evil. I was incapacitated. Factors happen beyond my control. But the Bible says when God speaks, he has examined all the factors. There is no such thing as speaking and later he says, oh, I didn't know you are from Plateau State for me to have made such a statement that I will lift you. I didn't know your situation was peculiar. I didn't know that there would be a pandemic. God is not a man. That means you can trust what he says. This is powerful because see, dear people of God, there are no guarantees in life. Nobody gives you any guarantee anywhere. Young people, listen, waiting for someone to guarantee your success is a total waste of time. There are no guarantees. Your guarantee is the integrity of God. God will send you to places with no human assistance. Your guarantee is that word. You will foolishly move as he speaks. Your guarantee is that word. He is a God of integrity. God can be trusted. Let me repeat it. God can be trusted. Don't get used to the disappointment you face from men. I promise you this, I didn't do it. I promise you that, I didn't do it. And you put God to join that queue. And you believe that just like this one disappointed me. I assure you and I bring you good news. Dear Plateau, God can be trusted. My Bible and your Bible is full of stories of people who God spoke to. And as at the time he spoke to them, there was nothing in their life that looked like what he said. But the one with integrity had spoken. Abraham, I will make your name great. I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curse you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He met a young boy hiding called Gideon and he called him a mighty man of valor. Can I tell you this? When we study scripture, it gives us an opportunity to vet the integrity of God. God is not afraid to allow you to probe his integrity. The Bible is a compendium of God's integrity that you search for yourself. And if you search well, you will conclude that this God can be trusted. Somebody shout, say, God can be trusted. Shake away unbelief. Say, God can be trusted. Regardless what I see, God can be trusted. Regardless the medical report, God can be trusted. I know you are sitting right now on a time bomb health-wise in the form of a medical report, but God can be trusted. Apostle, you're speaking like this because you do not know the huge bills that stand before me. I will still tell you to your face, God can be trusted. Is someone learning tonight? There are probably men of God here, respectfully speaking. You are saying, oh, the reason I'm not succeeding in ministry is because I'm unjust, or because I'm not from the plateau by tribe or whatever. Believe me, those things may be very sincere consolations, but that's not the reason. God can be trusted. Ask the man Daniel. He reigned through the dispensation of 3 to 4 kings. What is on you is what determines what is around you. You can create through your faith a system of exemption. Are we together? Yes. I want to drum it to your heart. He has integrity and he can be trusted. There are men who can fail you. There are men who can disappoint you. There are offices you may enter in Nigeria where someone will tell you, I promise you, by this time next week, if you are still in this position, call me stupid. And 3 years later, you are still there. God can be trusted. Someone turned that into a prayer in 1 minute. God can be trusted. His integrity. Go ahead and pray. Please pray. God can be trusted. Shake away unbelief. Lord, I believe what you told me about my children. I believe what you told me about my health. You told me death will not take me just like that. I believe you, regardless the symptoms in my body. I believe you told me you will prosper me upon the plateau, that my life will be an expression of your glory. You told me you will help me even politically. You told me you will help my children, that none of them will be lost. As it is now, right now, it looks like all my children are going haywire. But in the name of Jesus, I trust you. There are kings, there are kingdoms, there are mountains and there are thrones. Only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end. There are kings, there are kings. There are mountains and there are thrones, but only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end. Listen, there are names, there are offices, and even in that regard they are powerful. For instance, the president of any nation is powerful. Even as men, they can change your life with one signature. I've had the honor of meeting men of tremendous influence. And in one moment, when they rub off their credibility on you, it can literally alter the seasons of your life. If men can do that, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the monarch of the universe. The one who is not threatened by the pride of man. They can say, where is your God? And he's still seated on the throne. If he vows a vow concerning your life, then let God be true and all men liars. Let God be true and all systems liars. Your assignment is to believe in that God. Please sit down. Only Yeshua will reign forever. Can I tell you based on wisdom, it is wiser to trust the one who does not have a date of birth. The mere fact that any man can present to you his date of birth already tells you there is a tendency for compromise in his ability to show integrity. There is one who we can search from end to end. We will never find his date of birth. Who gave birth to him? The Bible says, in the beginning, not from the beginning. In the beginning. The beginning is a person. Listen, you know what I'm doing to you tonight? I'm shaking away unbelief, because the strength of Satan is your senses. He will flash your financial situation, your health situation, and bring you to a point where you feel it is not worth it trusting God. God, is it true that you really sent me to Jos? My life has not shown it yet. Is it true that you called me into ministry? I'm tired of this expression of shame.
Only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end.
Listen, I say this with all humility and to the glory of the name of the Lord. It was in one room the Spirit of God began to show me the visions of the things that he's doing through my life today. From that one room, he said, I will take you to the nations. I will take you before kings. I believed him. Stupid enough to believe him. Childish enough to believe him. With no human connection, I believed. God be true. How will it happen? Don't be like Mary. How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? Every time you are afraid, remember the person talking. Every time you are afraid, remember the person talking. He told me, as you travel around, you will have the power to heal the sick. You will have the power to cast out devils. I believed, I believe. He told Joshua, no man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. So when an angel appeared before Joshua, he removed his sword. He said, who are you? I will kill you with the word that was given to protect me. And he said, no. He had to explain why he came. Can I tell you this? God has integrity. Let me remind you again. God is a God of integrity. If he has told you, he will do it. Did you hear what I said? One scripture and then the other attribute. Genesis 21 verse 1. Someone, by this night, you will go back to your old notes where God told you things that didn't make sense. You will dust those notes again and say, even though this note is 10 years old, Lord, let's revisit your word again. I'm sorry for my unbelief. I thought you were not aware of the pandemic, but right now, my faith is alive again. I wish you could read with me. As many who can see it projected, let's read together in concert. Ready? One, two, read. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, integrity. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Listen, every man you see in ministry, in business, in government, in academics, any man doing anything uncommon today, I can tell you, probe them, and if they are sincere, they will tell you. There was no guarantee whatsoever. Lion of Judah, my trust is in you. I am that I am, my trust is in you. You're the Lion of Judah, my trust is in you. I put them away, my trust is in you. is not a man that he should lie. Attribute number two. The first attribute upon which Bible faith is built is God's integrity. And then number two, his ability. God does not only have integrity. As powerful as integrity is, it takes more than integrity to sponsor performance. Performance is expensive. It takes a union of integrity and ability. There are people who want to do it, but they are limited. Have you stood before someone wanting to help the person sincerely, and yet you say, I wish I had the means? You have integrity, but you do not have ability. Second Chronicles chapter 20 from verse 6 and 7. We're probing the ability of God. Is God that powerful for me to risk my life and destiny trusting and obeying him? And said, O Lord God of our fathers, he says, art thou not God in heaven, and rulest thou not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Verse 7. Art thou not God, who didst drive the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? He's showing you a display of the power of God. God has ability. He is all powerful. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Let's hurry up. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. It says, Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens. Who made it? Who made it? What is it about your life he cannot make? When God says, I will make you believe him, vet what he made before you. He made the heavens and he made the earth by thy great power, so he can make my destiny. If he made the heavens and the earth and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you to do. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul, teaching the church in Ephesus, says, Now unto him who is able to do. Someone shout, able to do. One more time, say, able to do. There are men who are willing to do integrity, but they are not able to do. They are willing to give you a job, but they are not able. They are willing to see you healthy, but they are not able. They are willing to help you, but they are not able. It takes integrity and ability. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power. Every man does according to the power that works with him. Now watch this. If you ask me to lift this speaker, I can do my best. I want to lift it, but my strength is limited. Is that true? There are many of you who want to do great things. Apostle, I want to build. Apostle, I want a great future for my children. Apostle, I want to be a man of God who serves the purposes of God in truth. But it takes more than desire. God is able. He has ability. Listen. When you combine integrity and ability, there is no hindrance to performance. Integrity and ability. Integrity and ability. There are people who have ability, but they don't have integrity. They have the power from a human standpoint to help you, but they do not have that sense of integrity to help you. There are others who have integrity, many so, but do not have ability. But this God has both integrity and ability. These are the pillars upon which Bible faith rests. The integrity of God and the ability of God. When I send thee, lackest thou anything? Because I can back you up. Hallelujah. It takes power to make. It takes power to lift. It takes power to subdue principalities and the yokes of darkness. It takes power to advance, more than a good intention. Please hear me. Believers, I came with a message tonight. If it is the glory of God that you want to see manifest in your life, it will take more than desire and wishing. You will have to learn the law of faith, even obedience. And it will be based on your understanding that the God who has spoken to you is the God of integrity. The God who has spoken to you is the God of ability. This God can make a fish to carry a coin if it means it doing that for you to excel. This God can make a donkey, an animal, to speak without learning. This God can make anything at all happen. He can make the rod to bud without a root. I submit to you that I have come to see in my own life and to believe in the power and the ability of God. It takes an unwise person to doubt the ability of this mighty God. I have seen God enthrone kings out of nothing. I've seen God humble the pride of men who believe there is no God. My Bible says only a fool will say in his heart, there is no God. Do not laugh at a man who believes in God's integrity and ability. You will spend your life bending your head in shame. Because from nowhere, as we say, you will see that man rise up like an edifice. The ability and the integrity of God standing behind him like a mighty, terrible one. There is nothing he tells me that I do not believe him. I have seen, I have tasted, and I have seen that the Lord is good. I bring you a very simple message tonight. It's time for your life to stop becoming a compendium of excuses. It's time for your life and your destiny to begin to be an effulgence of the grace of God. It's time for your life to become a preacher, your results to be an evangelist, that people can sit down and say, Lord, I am sorry, just by looking at you. There's something about the glory of God being expressed through your life that can literally stop someone from going to herbalist to get power, because it says it's unnecessary. I have seen an example of the power of God in a man. I have seen an example of the wisdom of God in a man. Can I tell you this? If we do not allow our lives to display the power of God, a generation will come that will forget God. You see the things happening right now. Many young people do not believe that God prospers with dignity. And we can sit down and be laughing at them until we have a whole generation that is swept in witchcraft because of the need, the economic need of the time. Can I tell you this? Enough of too much talking. There must be a display of what God can do. Can I tell you? Your gospel is powerful when your result is standing by you. In Acts chapter 4, when the council called Peter and the others for healing the man at Gate Beautiful, the Bible says when they wanted to accuse him, but the man he had healed was standing with him. It was an evidence too notable for contention. There's too much proposition of what God can do. My God can heal. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, we say. The Rock of Ages, we say. And everybody just keeps staring at us because nothing in our life captures that reality. I cried unto God and I said, Lord, if you're sending me as a man of God, I cry that you do not send me with a message alone. It is risky. It is risky to take on this journey with only a message. You need a message and a token of truthfulness called your evidence. You are a true witness when you have a message and the evidence. Ask those who are in the legal practice here. When a judge calls for a witness, your witness is rubbish until you can bring an evidence. An evidence is a token of truthfulness. I was not there when he died. I was not there when he walked upon the earth. But the spirit who was there lives in me. And now he walks through me to prove that what he said was not a lie. Is someone learning? I made up my mind that for the name of Jesus, for my own personal benefit, and for the people that he's helped me inspire, I will ensure that my life becomes an unending display of the glory of God. There are thrones, there are kings, there are mountains and there are thrones, but only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end. Listen, in this crusade ground, there are people who are sick. In this crusade ground, there are people who have been oppressed. You didn't just come to see a man. Some of you came because you believed that perhaps this man that God will use may carry something that will not just whet my appetite and waste my time. That's why you came. Can you imagine how evil it is for people to leave their homes from 10 a.m. in the morning and to come and sit down here, and then we preach about a God who is powerful. We say he can heal. We say he can deliver. Then we round up the service and share the grace. What a God. Why should I follow such a God? I will not believe and preach a gospel that has no power. I believe in the power of God. The power of God helps men to see in practical terms the fact that Jesus is exalted. Exalted Lord and exalted Christ. I know that we have a few minutes left, but let me assure you by the God of heaven that God will not allow you to go back the same way you came. In one moment, in the twinkling of an eye, your life just changes like night and day. You will look at your former self and wonder, is this how God can change men? Listen, can I tell you how evangelism was done in the Bible? It was not just done by encouraging men to go and preach. It was done because of such display of results. There was such testimony. The recipients of the results were too grateful to keep quiet. Even when they pleaded with them to keep quiet, they couldn't keep quiet. How do you keep quiet over a legion of demons coming out of a man? How do you keep quiet over a woman with five husbands and now met the Savior? Our evangelism is dull and barren because there are no results to back it. It just becomes an annoying episode of arguments. I believe in the power of God. I have seen the things that God can do. I have seen the lives that God can change. I have seen what he said come to pass. Please don't get used to disappointments. God is still alive. Don't get used to disappointments. My God, I don't know about your own, but my God. When we pray, he hears and he answers. When we cry unto him, he can arise. This God can give men testimonies. Please look at me. In one moment, I assure you by the God of heaven, he can turn your life around. It is true. This is not just a preacher's gibberish. I honor you too much and I love you to come and stand here and waste your time and talk rubbish. I present to you Christianity that works. I present to you the faith practice that works. What men say is none of your business. What did he say? Even Satan is looking for what he said, because he needs what he said to destroy you. What did God say? I know what he has said. I know what he has said concerning me. I know what he has said concerning you, that your seed will be mighty. Mama, I know what he said concerning you, that the fullness of your days you will fulfill. I know what he said concerning you, that he is still the God that heals. Apostle, you've not seen my medical report. I know and I understand. But let me tell you, there is a name. There is a name. There is a name. Listen, this man talking before you is not just speaking nonsense. I have been locked inside a mortuary to pray for the dead. I'm not saying like you close somebody inside a mortuary and you are the only one alive there. I have seen demons. I have seen spirits that control territories. I know what the name of Jesus can do. I have seen revival come over nations and territories. I know that this God is not a fraudster. He is not scamming you. Give him a chance to surprise you tonight. We'll take a few minutes to pray. And please hear me. I know you have cried, but shake away unbelief. Man of God, he's giving you a chance again. It may look like you are not called, but shame on the devil. That God who called you is still alive, standing by you like a mighty, terrible one. Lord, I believe. If you do not believe God and you do not release your faith to obey him, you will never see the glory of God manifest in your life. It will remain a theory. It will remain potentials, truths that you cannot defend with your results. And you see, let me tell you this. It is dangerous for your life to continually record failure, because that failure is a preacher too. It can create a theology about God in your mind, and you will mentor nations from your pain and your frustration. This is why you see people serve Jesus Christ for many years, even preachers, respectfully speaking, and then one day they wake up and say, I'm tired of lying. I don't want this thing again. I've been pretending for 15 years. There are many people today, if you invite them for crusades like this, they will say, sit down, let me tell you a story. In 1971, we were the organizers of so-and-so crusade. God failed me. You do your God thing, but don't bring it near me again. I've recorded too many disappointments. That's why he has anointed us to redig the wells of faith and prove to a nation that she's still alive. God is still alive. Babuani kamarka ya Yesu, Babuani kamarka, Babuani kamarka ya Yesu, Babuani kamarka. I have searched and searched all the earth, searched and searched all the earth, and found that Babuani kamarka. I have searched and searched all the earth, searched and searched all the earth, and found that Babuani kamarka. Hey, Babuani kamarka. Yeah, yes. Babuani kamarka. Hallelujah. We're about to pray. Satan is only as powerful as your ignorance allows him. If you can believe, trust him, and be willing to take actions of faith, you will see the glory of God. Please bring for me the people that start running out now by the anointing. I'm about to minister just for a few minutes. There are people who will start running out physically by the power of God. Please bring them to the stage now. Thank you, Jesus. In all the overflows, you can just bring them to the front. I have searched and searched all the earth. Searched. Yes, I'm the one you come on. Babu wani kamarka. Oh, 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 Babu wani kamarka. Please bring them out. I stretch my hands in the name of Jesus. There are many people right now, the power of God is coming on them. Please, whether you're an usher or not, help them. I come by the rod of a higher priesthood. And I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, may that anointing come upon them now. Things are shifting and changing. Bring them out by the Spirit of the living God. I bring you the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This man, come. This one, hold on. This man, what do you do? No, you, please. Where? I'm looking at you and I'm seeing the face of Pastor Paul Enenche on your face. This is what I'm seeing. Huh? Help them, please. I'm looking at him and I just saw a flash of it. Maybe he's a spiritual son or something of that sort. He's a what? Oh, he's a pastor in Dunamis. From Bauchi State. Is it true? Come, sir. What do you do? Huh? Where? What ministry?
Praise Revival.
You believe in the power of God?
Yes, sir.
Lift your hands. Step into a new level from now. Take that grace now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I release you into a new dimension of the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit. You will never be the same. Lift your voice in 1 minute and begin to pray. Everything that is not a revelation of the grace of God in my life, I command it to go now. Is someone praying? Plateau, lift your voice and pray. Pray, lift your voice and pray. Help us under the anointing. The God of integrity, the one who has ability, the God of integrity. Integrity, help them, please. The God of integrity. Hallelujah. Now hear me. The Bible says, wherefore God had so highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and of things under the earth. I want to pray for you now, that everything that is not of God, that every power that ties you down, it must go now and release your destiny. At the count of three, I will ask you to shout Jesus. And at that shout, hear me, that every door that has refused to open, everything that has tied you, must let you go now. Are you ready now? At the count of three. 1, 2, 3, shout Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, be free. Help them, please. Be free. Be free.
Atmosphere shift now. Chains be broken. Break. Holy Spirit. Heaven. Atmosphere.
Help them, please. Hallelujah. Hear me. If you came here walking with a crutch or an aid, lift it up now and begin to walk. You came with an aid or a crutch, lift it up now. Lift it up now and begin to walk. Lift it up now and begin to walk. Everywhere you came here with a crutch, anything assisting you, lift it up by the power of the Holy Ghost and begin to walk. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Please help them. I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that everything that will not let you go, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, I command that it leaves you now. Now, I command that it leaves you now, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Blotting every handwriting, the Bible says, and every ordinance that spoke against us, he nailed it to his cross. Therefore, I decree and declare, by the blood of the eternal covenant, I declare you free now, free now, free now, by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is showing me a few minutes and then we're done. The Lord is showing me a woman. I'm seeing a woman, I don't know if it's a lump or something at the left side of your breast. As I'm praying for you right now, the power of God is touching you. Right now, that devil leaves your body in the name of Jesus Christ. That devil leaves your body in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Is there someone with the name Godia? I'm hearing a name, Godia. Is there someone with that name? I'm hearing a name, Godia. Please make sure you don't just come out carelessly. Godia. Please, let's be orderly so that we don't. Your name? As a man, your name is Godia? That's all right, please. Let's not be chaotic. I will pray for you. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And my friend, shout Jesus as loud as you can.
Jesus!
In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, be free now. By the power that raised Christ from the dead, help him. Be free forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, you are the man from Dunamis. The Lord is going to begin to do mighty things through your life.
Amen.
I see this unction for signs and wonders.
Amen.
The Lord is bringing upon you. You will start walking in levels, dimensions of the miraculous.
Amen.
Make sure that pride does not come. When that comes, in humility and character, we dispense the gift. May the grace come upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for Godia. I want to pray for you. Please don't make it rowdy. I presume that there may be many people with that name. But in the name of Jesus, I pray for you. The Lord is showing me a woman. I can see someone. There's someone. There's a miracle over there. Please make sure. Don't put anybody under pressure. Make sure they are really healed. Make sure they are really healed. You just confirm the miracles. Hallelujah. Now hold on, please. The Lord is showing me a woman, 6 years. You've been trusting God for the fruit of the womb. I'm seeing 3 miscarriages. Like, not just 3 major miscarriages. 6 years. You've been trusting God for the fruit of the womb. Who is that person? Please don't tell lies. We're on air and we're before Jesus Christ. I'm not just saying if you are trusting for a miracle. This exact description.
You're not a man, no. You're not a man, no. You're the God who opens doors no man can shut. You're not a man, no. You're not a man. You're the God of everything, no one like you. No one like you, Jesus, no one like you. No one like you, no one like you. No one like you, help them please. You're the God of everything. No one like you.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Madam, how long have you been married?
12 years.
12 years.
But I have 3 miscarriages.
3 miscarriages. That's all right. I'll still pray for you. In the name of Jesus. You believe in the power of God to heal? Place your hand on your stomach. Jesus, thank you. You are the God that can open the womb that is closed. Therefore, I decree and declare by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, help her, please. I command that devil of barrenness out of her now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that according to the time of life, you return with your testimony. We veto through the medical conditions and we declare healing for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. For all of you who are in front for sake of time, in Jesus' name I declare you are delivered, you are blessed in Jesus' name. Please return back to your seat. What's that? Somebody who has been healed? Huh? Oh, she was using the crutches.
To this point.
She was using the crutches before.
Yes.
And she could walk from the back. What point. Happened to her?
Accident.
For how long?
Close to 8 years.
Close to 8 years. You couldn't walk without this.
Spinal cord injury.
Oh, spinal cord injury. My God. Place your hand on your chest, my dear. I'm still seeing somebody with a crutch. I know what I'm seeing in my vision. Like this aid. I'm seeing this in the realm of the spirit. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, whether you are following online or you are in any of the overflows, I bring you life and healing right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. And for those who are following from their homes, following from hospitals, in the name of Jesus, let the healing power of Jesus touch you right where you are. My dear, in the name of Jesus, I declare perfection over your body. In the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God. Pain and spinal problem, I curse you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I curse you right now. My dear, look at me. Who I just saw light. The power of God will come upon them. They will shout loud to the hearing of everybody. In the name of Jesus, the season of favor. Right now, I stretch my hands in the name of Jesus Christ. And I decree and declare that that grace will come on you. You will experience very strange dimensions of that grace. There is a man of God here. I don't know who, but I'm seeing a man of God here. The Lord is bringing speed to your life and ministry. Listen, please. You will literally start running. Just help that person. You're a man of God. I'm not saying just you aspire to get into ministry. It is a supernatural thing. Honestly, sometimes I don't know why God does this, but just a grace coming, literally, it's like something is pulling you to run. This is a supernatural impartation, and your ministry will so change, your life will change. Wherever that man of God is, Lord, you know the secret prayers of that man, and as you have given this word, I decree and declare, may that unction for speed, my God, May that grace for speed right now, let it rest. Please help them so they don't injure themselves. Help that man. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the power that raised Christ from the dead. My friend, this man wearing suit, yes, lift your hand. The Lord says, I should tell you, remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. I don't know what has happened over you, but let this grace come upon you. I open you by the Spirit to a new season. Take that fire now. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will never be the same. In the mighty and marvelous name of Jesus, you will never confirm your word over this our Father. In the name of Jesus, sir, by the privilege of God's grace, I stretch my hands towards you. There is an anointing that is coming on you, and the Lord is saying he's shifting you. You will start having prophetic encounters, dreams, and visionary experiences. I decree and declare that you are stepping into that grace in the mighty and marvelous name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, please, at the permission of your pastor, if he will allow, I want to request that tomorrow night, I want you to come. Please write your prayer request. Anything you are trusting God to do, the visitations you are trusting God for, may I plead and may I request that you come with your prayer request. You can call your loved ones wherever they are across the globe. They can send it to you, and as an act of faith, you can bring it here, and somewhere in the course of the service, we're going to be praying and asking the Lord to visit families. But I assure you that as a result of tonight's encounter, go back and meet testimonies waiting for you. Please shout a loud amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will not need to tell men you came for a conference like this. The results that show from your life beginning from tonight will be testaments that you visited the God of heaven. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, may the Lord bless you. Let tonight be full of encounters for you. Some of you, it is this night your destiny helpers will call you who have forgotten about you. Some of you, it is this night the Lord will give you encounters that will bring explanations to your life. Some of you, it is this night you will receive impartations that will empower you for new dimensions and new levels. In the name of Jesus, I release the ministry of the Spirit over your life. I declare you blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's